This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell along with John Squires. We're talking football, and we have so many football stories to talk about, not only wrapping up the high school season, talking about some of the events in the last few weeks, looking at some of the players, the games, the teams. A couple of notes. We have our Vinny Gaskins interview posted up here on our website. He is our last player of the week on Thanksgiving for Salem High School and his outstanding performance against Beverly. What was it, 5 touchdowns, 300 yards, 305 yards. What a performance for him. And then we also have a new football coach at Endicott College, just announced during the day yesterday. Paul McGonigal, an assistant at Assumption, I guess their offensive coordinator. So he comes to Endicott College to replace Kevin DeWall. So, John, let's begin. Let's begin with, well, wherever you want to, but maybe Vinny Gaskins and what a year, and obviously a great game that he had on Thanksgiving and at Fort Salem High School.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Yeah, he had a super year this year. And I'll tell you who else had a super year. MSO had a super year. We covered a lot of games. We were in a lot of big games. We saw a lot of teams, some great performances. So as I listened to the guys the other night in the Monday night show, they just were thrilled with the type of season we had. It was something to really kind of jump-start us for the basketball season. But, yeah, Vinny Gaskins had a super year. He ended up with almost 1,700 yards, Bill, 1,682 yards. He had 24 rushing touchdowns. He led Salem to a 7-4 record. They beat Beverly for the first time since 2010, and he certainly is a all-star, all-scholastic candidate. He's not very big, but he's very quick. I saw him once on tape. I did not have the fortune to see him live, but he did everything anybody could ask for. And also, he played defense, and he was second in the team in tackles. So he just had a great career over there, and I couldn't be thrilled for Matt Bouchard, who works real hard over there at Salem. He's got kids out. I used to sub over there. I know you were over there also, Billy. So many athletes used to walk the corridors there, and I said, why can't they get the kids out? Well, he's getting the kids out now. And I know I'm real thrilled for Salem, and that's where I started my teaching career, so I couldn't be happier for the Salem program.
Yeah, Matt Bouchard, we talk about a lot of great coaches in the area, but Matt's a great person, it seems to me, and does it right and isn't flashy, but just got the job done. And like you said, one of the other things that stands out to me, John, we talked about, you know, before Thanksgiving, about the Thanksgiving tradition and how, and you were mentioning how every Thanksgiving, there's always somewhere around the area, somebody steps up with big performances, which was the case. You know, the Ipswich game, a kid had a big performance in that win, upset win. Well, I call it maybe an upset win over Hamilton Wenham. And then you had the Vinny Gaskin performance and other performances as well as Thanksgiving. Case in point, it's just a great story to have that fantastic performance on a Thanksgiving day.
Especially being your last game, and especially if it's a senior. Another example is Andy Clow over at Marblehead. He did everything but sell hot dogs over there. He threw touchdown passes. He ran. He broke the game open with a 75-yard touchdown that I happened to see. And he had a great year. I mean, his stats are unbelievable this year, Bill. He ran for 12 touchdowns. He threw for 6. He had 825 yards passing and another 790 yards rushing, over 1,500 yards offensive passing and running. So, and he was a third-string, fourth-string quarterback. And here he is, 6'8", 6'7", and I hear that, and he's going to Middlebury. I hear that the football coach is doing everything he can to get him out. But he's a big-time lacrosse player, and that's what his number one sport is, and he's focusing on that. Unfortunately for Coach Giardi over at Marblehead, he is a very good basketball player. He is not going to play basketball. I heard that last week. I talked to Mike before the Marblehead Swampscott game, and he said that he's going to get his other shoulder done, and he most likely he won't play. And Mike was telling me not only is he a good rebounder and defender, is he can handle the ball for a big man. So that's going to be a big loss for Marblehead in basketball. But he had a great season, and and you're right. Thanksgiving, and I say it again, is a day for seniors, but it's also a day for someone to step up big. And Vinny and Clough and Severance over at English and Ben over Classical and down at Ipswich. Yeah, that was a big upset, Billy. Hamilton Wen was really, real good team. 9-2. Ipswich beat them. So it is an exciting day for seniors, and somebody does always seem to step up big.
I want to follow up on Andy Clough in going to Middlebury. So now, of course, quarterback is really not his position, which makes the story even more remarkable. He's like a tight end, kind of a Gronkowski kind of kid in Northeastern Conference football. But I'm thinking all he has to do that up in Middlebury, to replicate that, is maybe grow another 6 to 8, 12 inches, put on another 75, 100 pounds before next fall, and he'll be doing that. He'll do whatever he wants in Middlebury.
I'll tell you a funny story, Bill. There was a coach over there from a Division III school, and he was scouting Clout for quarterback. And I talked to somebody on the sidelines who had talked to the gentleman, and he was saying, and I can't remember what school it was. It was a Division III school, but not only does he run the ball and he has good speed, but he's got a gun and he could play. I think he could play at the next level. Unfortunately, in the NESCAC league, it's like a touch football league. They get quarterbacks from all over the country. They throw the ball 70 times a game. He'll probably, if he does play football, be a receiver. He's got good hands. He's got good speed. What size for a receiver? Randy Moss type size, 5'8", 240 as a receiver in Division III football. So yeah, it's interesting, but who knows what's going to happen, but he did have a great year, great performance, and they did a great job of coaching him over there at Marblehead.
Yeah, it was a unique kind of coaching job that Coach Jim Rudloff had to pull off in Marblehead this past year to get them where they were. And it was an exciting Thanksgiving Day overall, with that game starting out as a 10-0 Swampscott lead, only to have Marblehead flip the score and come on and take a commanding win in the end, and so on. So a lot of things happening on Thanksgiving Day and so on. So, but John, well, let's talk about some of the players and teams and stuff that you think kind of highlight this past year.
Well, I want to start, we don't cover them, but we did cover them on MSO for a game against the Prep. The number one team in the state certainly is Everett. We were lucky enough to see them. They ended up 11-0. They crunched everybody. Jake Wolcott, only a junior, threw 27 touchdown passes. I'm sure they're going to reload. But an interesting sidebar to that is that Everett team, John DiBiase won his 12th Super Bowl. He's near the top of the coaches in winning, the top five in the state. One of the questions before he left the press conference over there at Gillette was, are you going to finish? And he said, quote unquote, I feel like I'm a coach on the 18th green walking to the clubhouse. Now, you take that whatever way you want, but if he ever got done coaching over there, talk about a place to go coach. And he's done a super job. I know he's coaching basketball. He's doing it as we speak now. He's the AD over there. He's done great. He could coach tiddlywinks. I told you he reminds me of Dick Lynch. He's just a great natural coach. He's great for the kids. He does do a little bit of questionable type looking at other players some places, but that's to be fair. I do the same thing. He does it. He's a great molder of men. He's really squared that program away there. They were down the bottom of the barrel when he came down there 15, 18, 20 years ago, and he's done nothing but talk about a great program. But the top team, let's just jump ahead and one of the top teams in our area is Lynn English. Chris Carroll and his staff did a great job over there. You covered the game. I was blown away at the final score, 38-0. I mean, I know Clasco did everything but score. They moved it between 20 and 20, and they didn't. And the Clasco defense stood up with many of those players. But I'll tell you, they had a great year. And a little break here and there, they could have been in the Super Bowl. You did that game against Tewksbury, if I'm not mistaken, and they lost, and then Tewksbury goes down, and they did lose, I think, to North Attleboro or somewhere down the road, but yeah. English had a great year. They ended up 10-1. Chris Carroll did a great job. Matt Severance, another junior quarterback, threw for 18 touchdowns and took the leadership role, both throwing and running, where he ran for 2 years in a row, and many, many linemen did a great job over there. Pierce Brown, what a great year he had. He had 11 touchdown receptions. He had a great year. And the game that they lost, incidentally, he didn't play. So they have a lot to be proud of, and they did a great job. And his counterpart, Brian Vaughn, over Classical, ended up 8-3. Both of those programs, they were undefeated and vying for Super Bowls early, the three quarters of the season. He did a good job. A great job over there. And he had a lot of good. Keith Ridley threw for 17 touchdowns. Isaiah Best, I think Malcolm Best had over 1,000 yards, I think, or close to it. He had a lot of TD receptions. He did a great job over there at Classical. Nate Butler had 12 TD receptions for Classical. As I said, Ridley had 18 touchdowns, and they had a lot to be proud of. So those are, and the look at the Lynn program. St. Mary's loses in the Super Bowl to Mashpee, who's won it three times in a row. Lynn Tech wins a vocational state championship and goes 11-12-1. So all the Lynn team, Steve Krause is in Nirvana right now. He is so happy with what he saw. And I know on the interview you had with him or the guys did on Monday night, said it was probably one of the most favorite years that he's had covering high school sports in the area.
Yeah. I can't remember ever a year like that for the city of Lynn, for Lynn teams, because in the past, you know, classical had been up, English, you know, okay, you know, or vice versa, you know, and so on. But, you know, to have these two teams as undefeated as they were, what, I think both rolled to 7-0 at one point.
They were.
Classical exactly. And English. I'm just referring to those. And then St. Mary's is a story unto itself, I think, in the success they've had the last several years. But, you know, I want to go back to Matt Severance just for a moment. Matt Severance, to me, is you know, I mean, you could make a case, you know, that he's like one of the most valuable players in the Northeastern Conference for what he does. Because to me, a most valuable player, you know, is somebody that, you know, gets the most out of his teammates. Not only himself, you know, you can be a most valuable player by throwing for, you know, 3,000 yards. Okay, you know, you're an MVP. But on the other hand, picking the moments and doing what your team needs you to do in game situations is what Matt Severance does. If they need him to run, he'll run. If they need him to pass, he'll pass. If they need him to hand off and do whatever they need him to do in a case in the game. And that's the growth of the English offense this past year, as they've been so diversified with run and pass, and effective both ways. And most importantly, then put the cap on it, the whipped cream and cherry on top of it, defense. He's an incredible defensive player as well for English, and he won at least a couple of games on defense, I think, by himself. So there's a guy that, to me, is you know, I mean, you talk about player of the year kind of honors. I mean, there's somebody that, you know, who knows, when it comes to item awards down the road, there's somebody that's really in the hunt.
Oh, I agree, absolutely. And only the reason he may not get it is because he's a junior, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
But the thing is, I believe that if he puts on a few more pounds, and he's a very dedicated kid, as you can see, I think he can play at the next level as a defensive cornerback or safety or a strong safety, yeah, because he hits a ton. Yeah. For his size, what is he, maybe 175? Is he, if that?
If that, yeah.
And he hits a ton. Down at Gloucester, he turned the whole ball game around early in the season when Gloucester was undefeated. So he's a real good two-way player, and you're right. And being a most valuable player, and this is important that all our student-athletes understand this, it's not just about performances, whether you score touchdowns or throw touchdown passes. It's sacrificing for the team. And if you want to talk about sacrificing for the team, he's doing that. And that leads me to another point. Over at St. John's Prep, they had a real good year, but for them it wasn't good. They were 5-6. They lost on Turkey Day against a strong Xaverian team, who incidentally played Everett. But Matt Yaron, we saw him play a quarterback. He's a two-year starter at the Prep. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He's very good. What he did was, they have a sophomore over there by the name of Matt Crowley, who's going to be a super athlete, a super quarterback. Brian St. Pierre decided to pull the trigger, move it midstream, third game of the season. Matt selflessly decided to play defense. He played receiver. He had, I think, over 500 yards receiving over at the Prep. He also had 24 receptions and a few touchdowns, but he played safety, dedicated himself to be the best defensive player he could, and took a bullet for the team and let Matt, and without any complaining from everybody I talked to over there. So that's what high school sports is about. You talk about...
let me just stop you on Crowley for a minute. We were at that Everett game when he got hurt.
That's right.
Crowley came into the game at that point and finished off the game. Injury there, but what Coach St. Pierre saw, you know, change the course of how they directed the team from there on out.
Oh, absolutely. And Matt Crowley ended up throwing a bunch of touchdown passes, 11 touchdown passes. And incidentally, he got hurt at the end of the season, too. And they got another quarterback over there. It's like the Marblehead story. But we always leave these super athletes out or student athletes out. But there's an example of giving one for the team. And you made the point, and I want to jump on that right away. Giving one for the team, Andy Clough decided that they needed him at quarterback, what year he had. And it goes on and on, and I'm sure there's a story at every team that we covered in the North Shore, but, you know, it's just about being a team player, and the coaches that I were lucky to have with Dick Lynch and Stan Bond, the legend, Frank DeFelice, all they did was preach team, team, team. And there were many incidents where players moved positions that they wanted to be because of the good of the team.
Yeah. I'm Bill Newell, along with John Squires. We're on MSO News Sports, which is wrapping up kind of the high school football season. John, anything else you want to discuss regarding the teams, the seasons, and so on? There's so many teams we haven't really talked about, but some, I mean, you talk of Danvers, for example. Danvers is a team this year that, and Gloucester, let's put Gloucester won on Thanksgiving. Teams that were a little up and down, But when it came down to the end of the season, they really turned it on, and you didn't know what kind of teams they would have. But yeah, I've got to give Gloucester some kudos for what they were able to pull off this year, and then especially on Thanksgiving against a solid Danvers team.
Oh, Gloucester ended up 7-4, and they had all kinds of injuries and did a great job. Danvers ended up 6-5, and that was a great Thanksgiving day. I thought Danvers was going to beat Gloucester. Yeah. Both coaches did a great job. But you know what? You know, you look at the job Bobby Serino did over in Swampscott, turned the program down that was dying. A history in the town, they were 7-4. And we talked about the other coaches. And then another coach we're forgetting about, Peabody. Peabody, for the first time in years, had a win record. They ended up 6-5 and winning 5 of their last 6 ball games. So all these teams and coaches and many of the programs that we had around the North Shore had real good years, a lot of positive things. We saw a lot of great performances. It was just a great year in general for high school football.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bob Serino over at Swampscott and what they were able to do. You know, there's a program. Obviously, it's an undersized school playing against bigger schools every week for the most part. But they have a great, rich football tradition, as you know, John, and often talk about. But obviously, they really came to life under the direction of the quarterback Colin Frary and the rest of the coaching staff there. And I also wanted to mention Peabody just for a thing, too. One of the things that I like to recognize with teams is that, you know, it's easy to be on the team that walks and gets to the playoffs, moves to the next level, keeps winning, or whatever. You follow them along, and then they play on Thanksgiving. And obviously, they should be up for Thanksgiving. But it's a team like you talk about. The start that Peabody had this year was discouraging. But to turn it around and do what they did, albeit in non-playoff-type games, doesn't really matter. The fact is, as you mentioned, they finished up strong, had a winning record. And to me, that goes to coaching, and that goes to, you know, a credit to the kids and what they were able to pull off.
Absolutely. The caliber of the student athlete. And they hung in tough. They wanted to win. They worked hard. They went in and practiced hard every day. And Coach Benincourt and his staff deserve many kudos, as well as the kids. The kids are the one that the deciding factor. You know, you can't win without talent. You can't win without the players performing. You can be the best coach in the world. But the situation is, and that's a great example of a team sticking to it, going 6-5, beating soccer on Thanksgiving Day game, and it's just a great example of working hard and being successful.
I know in college football, we mentioned Paul McGonigal is the new football coach at Endicott College. That announcement coming. We have a post on our website on that, replacing Kevin DeWall, who left several weeks ago. Kevin was a great guy, great coach. You know, I think he's a very good coach and a very positive kind of person for the program. Obviously, they saw something and they wanted to make a change. They did. And McGonigal comes in from what we mentioned was a very successful Assumption team, and where he was offensive coordinator. So new blood and new coaching staff coming in at Endicott College for football and so on.
Yeah, right. And, you know, Endicott's taking their sports very seriously. I know the athletic director over there wants to have a top-notch program. Their hockey program is an example. Their hockey program is one of the top programs around in Division III, and they're doing great. They got the new Bork rink over there. They're recruiting like a son of a gun. And McGonigal comes in with a proven resume. He's won everywhere he's been. He's turned Assumption's program around. He was the offensive coordinator. They led, I think, Division III in the top 10. They were in the top 10 in the nation offensively. And he's certainly going to go out after players in the North Shore, and let alone the rest of the area. So I think that's going to be a great hire for them.
Yeah. As the school grows, you know, academically as it has, campus-wise, physically, it grows. And you mentioned the improvements around the athletic department, where there's been huge changes in the last decade athletically for as far as facilities at Endicott. You know, I think it would be great. You know, a few more local kids there would be huge, I think, for you know, getting people to follow Endicott football.
You know, another thing I forgot to add is look at what Coach Benincourt did in the basketball program over there. They've made the NCAAs for the first time ever the last 2 years, and they recently knocked off Babson, which was the Sweet 16. So, I mean, they're winning in their programs over there, and I know Frank DeFelice coached over there in baseball. They're going after top-notch athletes. They're trying to keep kids on the North Shore, but you're right. As the school grows, the population grows. It's a boy-girl school. They're trying to get in enthusiasm with the student body, and I think that's going to happen over there.
Yeah, and we're talking with John Squires here. John, looking ahead to winter, any thoughts on high school basketball as we look ahead to the winter?
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be reffing a lot of games and get around and see a lot of teams and players and coaches and so forth. But very quickly before we'll, and I'm sure we'll do a preview in the next couple of weeks before the season starts around here, because I'm sure we'll have a chance to discover some games. But there are going to be some new coaches in the area, Billy. And there are going to be some coaches who are starting their second year. Example, Coach Wallace from Danvers is going up to Central Catholic. Where do you see the wagon that he puts together in that league? I would give anything to see Coach Fazio from Andover and Coach Walsh the first time they play. I'd love to see the officials, how they're going to handle those two guys on the sidelines. But he's going to do a great job up there. I know Chris Timpson, who just got the job over Danvers, he's got things going to be rolling. Kevin Moran's in the second year at Bishop Fenwick. Over at Jasper Grasser over in Classical, he's got his first year. That'll be interesting over there. And they got a lot of athletes over there. So I'm really looking forward to the basketball season. We do have some new coaches. We have some coaches in their second year. And it's another opportunity for MSO to get out there to broadcast and preach what we see around there and see some of the best student athletes on the North Shore.
Yeah, Matt Karakoudis is the new coach at Beverly High School. And we had him on the sports show last night, a Monday night. And they're going to play some tough games, tough schedule, non-league schedule. So and that'll be good. And a transfer from Philadelphia. He talks about that in the program, but that just sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds great. Did Coach DiBiasso have something to do with that? Did he help
him? No, it was Philadelphia, not Malden. I mean, if Philadelphia neighbored Malden or Somerville.
Or Dorchester.
Coach DiBiasso, we're just kidding. All right.
One of my favorites, by the way. I love working for him. He had the kids always prepared, and he's just a great coach.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, they well, you know, and this also, just one last note on boys basketball. This will be the first year of the new fully integrated Greater Boston League Northeastern Conference schedule where, you know, I actually hadn't looked at the schedule until just the other day, the comprehensive schedule where everyone's kind of opening up. They have the two tiers, North and South, but you're kind of opening up with non-league games. But then you play everybody in your division, and so you basically don't play – Salem doesn't play Beverly twice. Danvers doesn't play Gloucester twice. Unless it's a – no, I guess it can't happen at all. So that's a little bit of a change. I know we saw that in baseball this spring, and coaches had some misgivings about that, I think, at some point. You lose a game, you want to come back and get them the next time. Well, those days are over as of right now.
Well, I know Coach Moran over at Saugus is against that because he believes in the rivals of the old Yankee, of the old Northeastern Conference, as I think you do a little bit, talking about having Salem and Saugus and year in, year out. But how about take this one and think about this one. How would you like to be a team going over to Everett on a Friday night, playing four or five of those guys that played in the Super Bowl team, and he always has talent walking around basketball, and have to play in Everett over there? So it's going to be interesting to see how the Northeastern Conference competes. And a lot of teams are going to have to schedule Somerville, Everett, Malden, Medford, which come from a bigger league, and it's going to be interesting to see. But I think we're going to have a lot of talent, and I will make an early season prediction. I watch for the Lynn basketball teams, St. Mary's, Classical, English, Tech, and maybe even Kipp, to be very competitive, especially the top four, to do very well throughout the season.
All right, there he is. That should do it, right, John?
That should do it, Billy.
I see him folding up his notes. That's my cue to wrap this up. So there you go. That John Squires with us. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us here. Football, basketball. John, you want to talk about hockey at all?
That's one sport I know nothing about.
Okay, all right. There you go.
I do have some stories, though. I'll tell you that sometime.
And then we'll save the curling for another show as well. Well, that's John Squires. I'm Bill Newell. And this is MSO News Sports.